In fact, you get your Bibles this morning, if you will open to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Judges chapter 13, verse 1. And it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, and the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be called, or shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. The woman made haste, and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. Manoah rose, and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing that I have commanded. Let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. And Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Let us pray again. Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for this recorded moment in time that we see where these two, and especially this woman that was a faithful woman, a godly woman, a virtuous woman. Though her name is not recorded, but we see her actions of how she was willing to do the bidding of your of your leadership and guidance, along with her husband. Lord, I pray that you'll guide us through this message this morning. I pray as you watch over our hearts this morning, if there's one in our midst, one that's listening to this message, has never trusted in your Son, Jesus as Savior, we pray that today is the day of salvation. But Lord, if there's other decisions that need to be made, Lord, I pray that through this message, through your word, through your spirit and leadership, that you will move us to be obedient and we will follow your leadership and guidance. Guide my words this morning, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Well, today we honor our mothers, our wives, especially as we're going to study this passage this morning, and looking at both a virtuous woman and a wife and a virtuous mother. In our society today, you know, many women have been in many ways taught to denounce the virtue of motherhood, but I'll tell you, it's something that God honors. God has set it up to where mothers would be honored, where they would be ones that, you know, having childbirth, even though it is painful, is still glorious. And God has recognized that. And in fact, it was through a woman that the Son of Christ was placed into her womb, and she bore the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. So women have high honors with God, but unfortunately, you know, many women have not seen the importance of children, and they have decided that it's easier to cast aside a child through abortion than to become that mother that God would have them to be. And they miss out on the many blessings that God would have afforded them. Many believe that there's no honor for a woman to worry about the needs of her husband or the needs of her family, that she should place herself first. But that is not what we find in Scripture. That is not virtuous, and that there is no virtue in that. And I believe that over the years that we've seen this drifting away from the importance of motherhood and following the teachings of the Lord has brought many children today to not respect any parent or anyone in authority. And in our society, you know, we know that there are many women that have been forced to work outside the home. Used to be a family could afford to have a home with one wage earner. And I really believe that a lot of this started back during the war. Was it WW2, where men were off fighting, women were, I had to go into the factories, and as a result, they were working. And when they were working, they were making a paycheck. And then when their husbands came home, is that now we've got two wage earners, and in the industry it looked like it says, well, we can get more money out of housing, whereas before it was able to do it on one income. I don't fault the wives for working. In fact, if you read in Proverbs 31, it talks about a virtuous woman. It talks about a woman that is using her hands to have her own business. But it doesn't mean that it's one or the other. A home life or a business life. They have to be balanced. And that's where we need to understand that in our society today. But I will tell you, one of the greatest things that a woman can ever do and or a grandmother can ever do is to teach their children about Jesus Christ. But it first requires that they know Jesus Christ. But having known Jesus Christ, and I think about Timothy, when Paul wrote about Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 15, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And when you read in the text, you also find is that his mother and his grandmother had both been instrumental in teaching their son, their grandson, about the ways of the Lord. And then we know that Timothy then came to know Christ as his own personal Savior. But we find, as we're going to see in this text this morning, that a wife who lives a submissive life before her husband and a mother who teaches her children the ways of God, through a life that is lived according to the Word of God, is a wife and a mother who demonstrates to those that she really loves, not only the Lord, but she loves God's Word and realizes that the Word of God is profitable in her own life. And one of the things that we find in Scripture that, you know, there's been a lot of women who have been married that are saved, husbands are lost, and they have and they live a life before their husband, and eventually sometimes the husband comes to know Christ as Savior. But it was because they developed a relationship with the Lord and they lived that life before the Lord, and as a result is that that individual became saved, their husband. We're going to look at a woman this morning. We don't know her name. All we know is her husband's name, Manoah. We don't know her name, but I believe that she was a very virtuous woman and she would become a very virtuous wife. I kind of look at Manoah's wife as kind of being like Hannah, because it doesn't say that she was an older woman who had been barren for all these years, that and she was past the age of bearing. So I have to believe that she was more like the story of Elkanah and Hannah, where that Hannah had really wanted a child for all the years. You also have to understand something about their culture. At this time period, when this, during the time of the Israelites, is that for a woman to be barren, and especially for a woman to have no man children, she was looked upon as being cursed. So not only the fact is that whether or not she was barren, but no men children, they were looked upon as being cursed from the Lord. So this had to be weighing heavy in there. And I kind of look at maybe Manoah's wife was probably had been praying about this. I have to believe that Manoah had been praying about this. And I believe they had such a great relationship between the two of them that, as we will see in this text, is that when she told him something about what she had seen, he believed her. I believe that's kind of the trust, the relationship they had. Look back at our text. In verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them in the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So here we find is that, again, we're in the book of Judges. This was before the time of kings. So the time of Judges is that the nation was supposed to be led of God. And what they would do is that they would turn away from God. God would deliver them to the hands of the Philistines, whether they were necessarily in captivity or they were just being sought after by the Philistines. They were there was these little conflicts, these skirmishes and these things that were going on. They were really a thorn in the side of Israel, but it was because of the fact is that Israel had turned away. And after a period of time is that the Lord would start to raise up someone to actually lead them. In this case, it was going to be Samson. So for 40 years, they had been delivered under the hand of the Philistines. Verse 2 of our text again goes on to say, "There was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and a razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So here we have is that we know that Manoah was of the tribe of Dan, which originally, if you go back and look at the early Israel maps, you'll find it was originally lay next to the country of the Philistines. That's where the tribe of Dan, that's where they received their inheritance of the land that was promised to Abraham. So the angel said unto her, "Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not." And again, I truly believe that this was probably a Hannah moment. She had been praying about, "Lord, I'd really like to have a child." And I look at this as that, when does the Lord often meet our needs and address our needs? It's at the very moment when it's the right time. And we find, in fact, when we're troubled with our afflictions, when we're troubled with, weighted down with things that are our cares of the world, Peter writes this in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, "Humble yourselves, therefore, into the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." And then it goes on to say, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." One of the things I look at is that if you're going to pray a prayer of earnest, be willing to accept the answer. Because in the Lord's timing. You see, the Lord always gives us usually three different types of answers. Sometimes He says yes right away. Sometimes He says no right away. But He may say, wait for a better day, because I have something better for you. And so, just because she was in this predicament of not being able to bear having no children, is that oftentimes the Lord uses those things that may look impossible, and yet it becomes His greater purpose, His timing. And she may have been kept for a period of time, meaning not allowed to bear children. Her womb might not have been open to bear children to conceive until it was time to bring, to start to get the people of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. And as it said, to begin to bring them out of that peril that they were in. So the angel of the Lord promised, brought this promise to the woman, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And if this child was to be born by promise, not by providence, but it was a promise of God. And Manoah and his wife did not begin to believe in God because of the promise of the child. Manoah and his wife were already believers. They were trusting the Lord. And I think that's important for us to understand, is that you have to trust the Lord that He is going to provide in His time, but you have to trust in Him. They didn't start trusting when the angel came. They were trusting prior to the angel came. Think about this. Mary. You know, Mary was the, as I mentioned earlier, was the mother of Jesus Christ. And it says that the angel came unto her to tell her that she was going to be the one to have within her, in her womb, this seed of God. She was not picked to become a spiritual person. She was already a spiritual person. She was already a believer. She was already one that believed in the Lord, and God then used her in a mighty way. I believe this is the same with Manoah and his wife, that she was a very spiritual woman. She was one that believed in the Lord, and then when the Lord came through the agency of this angel to tell her that she believed what the angel told her, that she was going to be the mother of the deliverer of Israel, and that she should make herself not only ready, but she needed to place herself under the laws of the Nazarites. Though she was herself was not under the vow of the Nazarite, but to place herself under the law of the vow of the Nazarite. And I'll talk about that a little bit more here in a moment. And it was going to be, especially for this vow that she was going to place herself with, if you will, under the law of the vows of the Nazarite, was to be for as long as the child was in her womb and at her breast. For that period of time, she herself was to place herself subject under the laws of the Nazarites. And it may very well be, again, that also that Samson's mother was to, as it said, to refrain from wine and strong drink, not only because he was designed for be a Nazarite, but because he was designed to be a man of great strength. And he said, well, why is that important? Why is that important that she would be asked to place herself under the law of the Nazarite? How many times have you heard of women who are pregnant ingest things in their bodies that end up, when that child is born, having negative impacts because of what she was taking, because of what she selfishly took, whether it be drugs, whether it be whatever she was taking in her body? Is that child, you know, you've heard many times over of children born with cocaine addictions because the mother took cocaine, you know, during the pregnancy. And there's other things that as a result of taking all these different types of drugs and whatever they are, without deference to their child, is the child has harm done to it as a result of it. So the Lord's angel said unto her, is that you are not to take anything of the vine, no strong drink, anything of that, not touch any unclean thing. You are to keep yourself pure because there is going to be a great deliverer. Now, if you wanted to read about the laws of the Nazarite, you could go to Numbers chapter 6. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to summarize what it states there. But in Numbers chapter 6, and if you read from verse 1 down to verse 21, you'll find that in the law or a vow of a Nazarite was not limited to men, but women could also be placed under that vow. And that was something that you willingly subjected yourself to. All right, you purposefully did it, that you were to be set aside. And there was a whole thing that once you got done with the vow, is that then you were to go and offer some sacrifices at the end of that time period as well. So I just want to summarize what it was the vow of a Nazarite was to do. So it was the strictest abstinence from wine and from every product of the vine. That's number one. They were also to keep their hair unshorn, means uncut, and the beard untouched by a razor. Now, we know that wouldn't be according to the women, meaning women don't have beards, but men were not to shave. Women were not to shave their heads. Men were not to shave their heads. There was also a prohibition that they were not to touch a dead body. In fact, if you read under the law there in Numbers, you will find is that even if one of your own family members died, you were not supposed to touch them. If you did, then you had to go and your hair would be shorn, it would be cut, and there were rules and regulations about this. They were also, during this time period, they were prohibited of eating any unclean food. So, you know, if you want to look at what unclean food is, it's not talking about going garbage dump picking. It's not talking about that. What it's talking about unclean food is that, you know, that cloven toes, things of that nature. There are certain types of animals that the Lord says they would be considered to be unclean according to their dietary restrictions. So this was what, in reality, that she was to subject herself under the laws of the Nazarite. Though she was not under a vow of the Nazarite, she was to subject herself, and especially I believe this would have been all the way up until at least Samson was weaned. The Lord had a special plan for this child, Samson. Both Manoah and his wife would have a major role in preparing their child for God's plan, for His purpose. And they were going to be charged with teaching their son about God and His ways. And I think it's important for us to understand a significant thing that God gives us wives and mothers, that we might see the attributes and qualities of the Lord positively being demonstrated at the very earliest of ages. You know, as I've shared with you on other occasions before, is that as a child, my mom used to hold backyard Bible studies right off our back porch, and kids in the area would be brought in. And during that time period, that sometimes she would make up little lessons and stuff, and she would ask us to, my brother and I, we would sit there and we would help color them. At that time, they did not have printers. They didn't have all the things you had to, you know, at best you got was black and white pictures, and she always told us to color inside the lines, not outside the lines. And then she'd have to put it on some kind of a flannel material and then be able to use it. I mean, you can't go and get that already produced stuff. It had to be produced. At least you got the print and then you had to color it in. So those are always dear to me, is how my mother had us helping her. But during that time period, she would also teach us the lesson. So we got to hear it usually twice about what it was going to take place. Even some of the songs that would be sung during those backyard Bible studies with some of the neighborhood kids, is that I can still remember a few of those even till today. I mean, they just stuck with me, resonated with me. Yes, my dad was a pastor. He still preaches today. But I listen to his preaching, but I will tell you, there's still this endearment with your mother, that your mother teaches you some things your father never will. And that was God's design. When God brought man and woman together, He said that the woman was to be the helpmeet. Helpmeet to be able to teach the children, to be there to support her husband, but to teach the children the ways of God. It does not take anything away from the father's responsibility, because he's ultimately responsible for the teaching of the children, but she is that helpmeet, and she's usually with them much more time than the father is. And studies in developmental psychology and related fields have confirmed again and again that parents exert by far the primary and overwhelming influence that is determinant in the setting the direction of a child's life. The parents are influential. Do not get caught up with the government is the better way. The government is not the parents, and they will never be the parents. The parents are to be the parents. They're the ones to be raising. Much of the influence is brought to bear by the mother before the child is even 6 years old. The mother often creates the environment and teaches the standards and values that ultimately determine a child's personality and character trait. And again, this is not news of today. Go back and study what Solomon wrote there in Proverbs 22:6. It said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, meaning he won't forget it. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. So it's important for us that especially moms to teach their children with regards what it means. You know, when you go out in society, you carry our name with you. There, people are going to look at you, oh, that's that Howell kid. Or, that's that Howell kid over there. You know, it goes both ways. Sometimes we hurt it on both ends, okay? Because they were our kids, and they were not perfect. Because we're not perfect. Amen. But the point is that we need to understand that children need to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord at the earliest of ages. There was a story told of a mother asking a pastor when should she begin to teach her 5-year-old son about God? And he told her, you better hurry home, you've already lost 5 years. Because they need to be taught from the womb. They need to be taught in those early ages, the developmental time period. So we find is that the angel came and told Manoah's wife, you are going to bear a child. And not only are you going to conceive and bear a child, but here's what God is asking of you, that you restrict your intake of certain things and subject yourself under the laws of a Nazarite. Look at verse 6 and 7 again. Then a woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. This word terrible means very wonderful. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And notice is that he didn't challenge her. He did not challenge what she said. She came and told him exactly what the man of God had said. Now, she had no idea that this was an angel of God. In the appearance, you know what the Scripture tells us is that be careful because we may entertain angels unawares. And so I have to believe that this angel appeared to her as a man and one that came and told her this message. And so, again, she didn't know it was an angel. She took what he had to say. And that's why, you know, one of the things that we need to understand something, if the Lord reveals something to us, we ought to listen. We ought to listen to what the Lord has to say. I'm reminded what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5, it says, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, one of the things we need to understand about what happened here, though she was barren, she did not have a Sarah moment. Now, I'll explain what I'm talking about. Now, really, you know, you look at Sarah, and I understand about her. She was beyond childbearing years. And when the angel of God told Abram that Sarah is going to bear, it says she laughed. Because why? Because I am beyond childbearing years. Manoah's wife, when she was told, you're going to conceive, you're going to bear a child, is that she didn't laugh, she didn't question it, she didn't challenge it, she didn't say, well, how can you tell me that? She accepted it. And that's one of the things I look at as important about Samson's mother, is that she was willing, if the Lord revealed something to her, and again, I truly believe that the revealing this message to her, what was going to happen, that she was going to conceive, her prayer was going to be answered about being able to conceive and bear a child, I have to believe that she had been waiting to hear. And she accepted what she heard. And then see, that's the importance for us, and it goes for all of us, is that when if we're really going to enter into a prayer and ask God for something, you and I need to be willing to listen and accept what we're told. Now, it could have been that he might have said, not at this time, you're not going to bear a child. And she, I believe, would have accepted that. Because she knows that God is still in control and God has a plan, and because that would have been a not now moment. But I look at this is that she listened, she didn't question, she didn't challenge it, she said, and she didn't say that become a skeptic. She accepted what the angel of God said to her. And they took it by fact, promise. And they took it that when it says, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, this was a promise. And it was based on the fact is that now there was a commandment. The promise is this. You're going to conceive. But the precept or the commandment was, drink no wine, no strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. So I have to look at this as this, is that, you know, we can hear what God has to say, and God has promised us something, but we can ignore the commandments that go with it. And if she was unwilling to follow with the commandments, she wouldn't have conceived. At least if she did conceive, the child would not have been able to do whatever God wanted him to do. That's why I'm saying when we get a commandment of the Lord, we get a promise that the Lord says He's going to do something, we need to listen and accept the whole message and not just ignore some of the message. That's why it's so important that when we train up our children the way they should go, they should go. What does that mean? In the way they should go. Well, first of all, that means that we need to train them up so that they may be able to influence their children in the ways of the Lord. A mother cannot save an individual, but a mother can lead an individual to Christ, can show them about Christ. But she has to be living a life enveloped in Christ if she's going to demonstrate to an individual, to their children rather, that she is of Christ. And so what we find here is that we have this influence. I think about Moses' mother. You know, Moses' mother only had Moses for just a short period of time. It says until he was weaned. Now, we don't know exactly how old that weaning took place. It could have been up to the age of 3. It could have been up to the age of 5. In some circumstances, they might have done weaning not until 5 years of age. But the point was, during that window of time, Moses' mother taught him about God. Moses' mother taught him that he was a Hebrew. Moses' mother taught him of where God was going to do something special with him. And so we find he was going to become a deliverer. There were things that she had an opportunity to teach. And I believe here is that Manoah's wife had this opportunity, realized this opportunity, and jumped on this opportunity to be in the will of the Lord. Look at verse 8 of our text again. So Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "Oh my Lord," entreated the Lord and said, "Oh my Lord, let the man of God which thou hast sent come again unto us and teach us." And notice what the prayer was. And I have to believe that this is a conjoined prayer, not only of Manoah, but also of his wife. This was a conjoined prayer that this is coming. Is that, "Oh Lord, let the man of God which thou hast sent come again unto us and teach us." That's why I think it was a conjoined prayer. "Teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Tell us how it is that you want us to train up this child in the ways of the Lord." And getting back to my point about training up the child, is that not only how to have a relationship with the Lord, but how to live for the Lord and to follow the Lord. And I think that sometimes is that where we miss the point. We pray that our children will do the right things, but are we teaching them this? Are we training them up in the name of the Lord with regards to having time to teach them about the Word of God? Are we taking time to pray for them? Are we having time to pray with them? Are we taking time to tell them that yes, once we are saved, you need to look at submitting yourself in the baptism, uniting. You say, well, even to a child, teaching them, yes, because these are the ways of the Lord, following the Lord, and then teaching them to learn how to become a servant of Jesus Christ. What it means to serve Him. What it means to live a life for Him. And so as an example there, as we read in verse 8, it says they, I believe when it says teach us, I believe this was a prayer from both of them. Teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. One of the things I read after an article by a young man that was raised by a godly, virtuous mother was once asked, what version of the Bible do you prefer? He replied, I prefer my mother's version. She has translated it into the language of daily life for me ever since I was old enough to understand it. And there was never been any doubt about her version. Meaning, she had taken the Word of God and applied it. Sometimes we are the only Bible that some people ever read. What kind of Bible are they reading when they see our lives? God hearkened to Manoah's prayer, because we continue reading there, is that God hearkened, verse 9, the voice of Manoah, the angel of God, came again to the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And I will tell you, there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord two or three times, how do you want us to do this? Give us the understanding. Help us to understand. And also, as time goes on, we need to go back and ask the Lord. They're at a different age. How do we deal with them? How do you want us to work with them? They're at their different maturity levels. And how do we best work with them to teach them? How shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. So, again, of all that I've said to her, let her beware. And he reiterates it. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine. And notice the restrictiveness. You know, oftentimes we talk about using for the time of communion, for the Lord's Supper, is that we use fruit of the vine. Don't even take fruit of the vine, which is like that freshly squeezed grape juice. Don't even take of that. Nothing of the vine. No wine, no strong drink, nor eating any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Now you have to look at this as that Manoah was right in lockstep with his wife on doing this. And again, in their culture is that, in fact, if you go back and you study about the situation with Elkanah and Hannah, is that when Eli told her that she would end up, that he was the high priest, told her she would conceive, is that, and she says, I'm not going back to offer sacrifices until this babe is weaned, that, and she had Samuel, is that Elkanah was very much in lockstep with her. And I will tell you, when you have a husband and a wife and they're in lockstep together, the raising of the children, and I tell you, is that we're never going to produce perfect children, okay? If you think you are, you're wishing in for utopia, all right? But, because none of our children are perfect. You know why they're never going to be perfect? Because their parents are never going to be perfect. What? I'm not perfect? No, you're not perfect. You're a sinner just like me, all right? And so children are never going to be perfect. That doesn't mean we don't discipline when they're not perfect, though, amen? They need discipline, we discipline them. We do it out of love, not out of anger and hatred. But the point is that what we find here and what we see is that these two were in lockstep. And I believe that when you have a husband and a wife that are working together, is that some of that burden is lifted because she's not the only one having to do all the raising and training and teaching about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we find here is that the same thing that was said to her, do what I told her, and that's what God would have you to do. As we read there in verse 14, nothing of the vine, no strong drink, no wine, nothing unclean. And as a result, you'll be doing what God has asked you to do. That's the commandment of God. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says that Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee and until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of the bread of thy bread. And if thou would offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. So what we find here is first and foremost is that an angel, and we know this would have been an angel of the Lord, because why? You don't offer up sacrifices of praise or anything to an angel. You offer them unto the Lord. You don't offer a burnt offering unto anything other than the Lord, and that's what this angel was stating. So I was reading after one commentator, and they thought that this was Christ showing himself in the incarnate. I don't believe it was. I believe this was an angel, just as the Scripture says, that it was an angel of the Lord doing the Lord's bidding. And so he said, even though you may fix some bread, I'm not going to eat it. Verse 17, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. You know, one of the things that's also important here is that there is not to be any angel worship either. Again, he did not know this was an angel. There's not to be angel worship. You know, even the Spirit of God, think about the Spirit of God. Do we worship the Spirit of God? Now, that's kind of a catch question. First of all, we worship God. Amen? We worship a triune being. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen? But we need to understand, is the Spirit of God never brings attention to Himself. He always points us to whom? Jesus Christ. Who always points us to whom? His Father. And that's the way that we do it. Now, I'm not liking the Spirit of God to an angel of God. Do not get me wrong. What I'm saying is, though, the Spirit of God does not bring attention to Himself. But I will tell you, He all ought to be getting our attention. Amen? And the attention is what? What is His role? His role is the Spirit of God is to do what? As you hear the Word of God, He convicts us. Amen? He convicts us that we're what? Sinners in need of a Savior. Not only does He convict us, but He draws us unto whom? The only one who can save us. The only one that went on that cross of Calvary and died on that cross. Notice there's no one on that cross anymore because He's not there. He died, He was buried, He arose again, and He is with the Father. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He draws us unto the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus died. Jesus paid our sin debt. Jesus was the one that spilled His blood that we might live. He was the one that took upon Himself the sins of the world. And you know, as a result of that, we find is that as a result of taking our sin debt and paying our penalty on the cross of Calvary, it has been the Father said, this is my beloved Son. Exalt Him. He has humbled Himself, and He is to be exalted, and that is the message that every mother is to be teaching their children about who Jesus is. The angel of the Lord, a true angel of the Lord, would never ask for anyone to worship them. Case in point, Lucifer, who is called the dragon, called Satan, called the deceiver, the devil, Satan was the one that, remember, there in Matthew chapter 4, took Jesus up to show Him all the worlds, all the kingdoms, and said, if you'll just bow down and worship Me, I will make you ruler over all these kingdoms. A true angel of God would never do that. Only a fallen angel. So you have to look at this and understand, this was not a fallen angel. This was not a deceiver. This was not one of the third that had been drawn out by Lucifer. This was a true angel of the Lord that came and said, though that you offer Me bread, though you offer a burnt offering, I will not receive any of it. Any of it goes to worshiping the Lord. For Manoah, again in verse 16, knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? Now, an honor in kind of a remembrance of what you've done, of what you brought to bear. And as a result, the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" Or it is, it means that it's wonderful. It's not, and you probably couldn't even pronounce it if I told you. I'm just saying. It's not important. It's not important. Some of the greatest messages that you've ever heard, do you remember the messenger or the message? You remember the message, right? You didn't really, I mean, importance is you knew the individual speaking, but at the end of the day, you knew the message. When a man of God stands before a congregation, he has to have the spirit of John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. When Paul, there with the church of Corinth, when Paul was writing to the church of Corinth in the first letter, one of the things that they were having some division over is that basically, who's the better minister? I was maybe saved or baptized under that minister. There was Peter, there was Apollos, there was Paul. And Paul basically rent his clothing, whether he did it physically or mentally or allegorically, rent his clothing, says, "Men and brethren, we are just ministers of God. Do not bring any attention to the man of God. Bring the attention to the Word of God. Because it is by the Word of God, it is by the preaching of God, that men and women and children will be saved. It is through the preaching. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That's why I said you've heard some messages over your lifetime that really has, and however old you are, you've heard that message, and that message resonated with you, irrespective of who the messenger was. And you see, that's what I look at by this angel. Why are you asking me my name? It is not about me. It's about the message. It is about who sent the message. And the message that came was of God. Receive it as such. The message is of God. And he went on to say, the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name? See, it is a secret." So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon the rock. And notice who he offered it to. He offered it unto the Lord as the angel had instructed him. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. And I will tell you, I would have fallen on my face to the ground as well to have seen all of a sudden this individual that looked like a man. And I don't know what it says when he was doing things wondrously. I don't know what he was doing. Could have been dancing. He could have been just moving around the flames. But all of a sudden, the flames went up and he went up. I would have been on my knees as well. I'd have been on my face as well. But notice that they were both on their knees. They were both in a prostrate position. That it says that no more appear to Manoah. Verse 21, I'll read it there. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah, to his wife. And Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Now, what do we do with this information? Well, look at what Manoah, what he said. And Manoah said to his wife, "We will surely die because we've seen God." Now, where in the world would he have gotten that impression from? Well, I have to believe it's because they understood the Old Testament. Meaning they understood the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. Because in Exodus, remember that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai there to get the tablets, to get, you know, the Ten Commandments. One of the things he says, "Oh God, can I see you?" And God says, "No, no man can see me." Well, is it written down? Well, of course it is. Exodus 33:20 said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." You see, they had seen the man's face. They're thinking, and so Manoah's thinking right away, "We're going to die because we've seen his face. No man can see," but he was not God. He was an angel of God. That's why it says that we have to put things into perspective. But I look at this here, and I want you to see the depth here. Manoah, right away, he's going back to Scripture. We're going to die because we've seen man. But she's going to look at this from a different perspective. That's why she is called the helpmeet. And sometimes it takes, you know, sometimes we as men, we get a direction. Even myself, I know I get a direction. I'm an A to B kind of guy. I'm going in a certain direction. That's how I'm going to go. Shortest distance. That's how I'm going to be. Sometimes I need a little voice in my ear over here from my wife to say, but wait a minute, we might need to take a little bypass here. We might need to go a little different direction because there might be something we need to see over here. And you see, that's a helpmeet that has a different awareness, a different perspective to what's going on. Look what she says. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would have not received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. So why would God promise you're going to bear a child and kill us? Why would God receive our burnt offering and kill us? Why would he do that? Again, and I don't fault Manoah, he's thinking about Scripture. The Scripture says this. But she says, but wait, but God said this. The angel said that. They, again, at that moment, they just realized it was an angel. They had not seen the face of God. They had seen the messenger of God. And as a result, you know, she had a different sense. She saw this and understood this. And I believe that the Lord was just instilling within her heart what was going to happen. You're going to bear a child. She had accepted it. She had accepted the commandment that live under this, subject yourself under the laws of a Nazarite, especially until this child is weaned. Well, you know what happened as a result of it? 9 months later, or thereabouts, the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. I will tell you, Samson was a problem child. He was. The first thing you want to do is go marry a Philistine. And it was, he was a problem child. And I have to believe but I will tell you this. I truly believe that Samson did not forget what Mama had and Daddy had taught him, especially Mama. I believe things came back in his remembrance of things, but I will tell you, he was an ego man. He was a vain man. He had sensual desires and he went after them. And that came to bite him. In fact, that name, Samson, that was given to him, means little sun, S-U-N. Little sun, shining, light. That's what his name meant. The boy grew, Samson. The Lord blessed him. And in fact, we know that it says in Judges 16:31, it says, then his brethren and all the house of his fathers came down and took him and brought him up. And this is after he died. Buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah's father, and he judged Israel 20 years. He judged Israel 20 years. And we know that again from studying about Samson is that he did not live under the directions. He did not live under the guidance. But one of the things that, you know, his parents' teachings, but one of the things I have to wonder is that, you know, after the fact is that, you know, when Delilah was there trying to do what? Trying to get him to expose his strength. Where did he get his strength from? Oh, if you just tie up my hair. If you tie me up. All these things. And then it finally got exposed. You cut my hair. Now I want to tell you right now, his strength was not in his hair. It was in the Lord. But you see, he was under the vow of a Nazarite. And the vow of a Nazarite was, you can never cut your hair. From his birth to his death, he was not to ever cut his hair. He was under that vow that God had placed him under, and he allowed his hair to be cut. That disrupted the vow. They ended up putting his eyes out. They hooked him up to a place where they churned grain, where they usually had an oxen that would walk around this big wheel. He was put up to it. But then his hair started to grow, and his hair grew back out. And then they brought him out for sport when all of the Philistines were out there having this big party. And one of the things is I wonder when he asked to be strapped up to the pillars, I wonder if he remembered what Mama had said. God has you here for a purpose. Judges 16 says this, verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. When Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other of his left, and Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. But then we also find in the hall of faith, in Hebrews 11, it says this, And what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the enemies from the armies of the aliens. And what we find here is that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he shall not depart of it. Samson had taken a journey. But you know, the same type of prayer that Manoah and his wife had, how shall we train this child? We find a very similar prayer. Let me serve you. Sometimes our children go astray. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. And keep praying for them. Because when they are old, they will remember. Prayerfully, will come back to the Lord's service. It is important for mothers, grandmothers, grandmothers to teach their children about the Lord. Yes, indeed. When does it start? When they are babies. I believe that these two, Manoah and his wife, they feared the Lord, they served the Lord, they were instrumental in Samson's upbringing. Now you may say, well, my children are out of the house. What can I do? Is there anything I can do? Still be that beacon in front of them. Live God's Word before them. Pray for them. As you have opportunity, witness unto them. Share with them your love for them. Be there for them. And I will tell you, if we had more virtuous women as Manoah's wife, we would have a whole different society. A whole different society than what we have today. May we continue to pray for our mothers. May we continue to pray for our wives, especially as they are helping to raise our children. If you don't know Christ as Savior, what better way to honor your mother than to trust Jesus? What better way to honor the Father in heaven? Trust in Jesus. And if you've never trusted in Christ, we invite you to do so today. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning, and we've looked at this virtuous woman, Manoah's wife, We praise you for her. We praise you for all the mothers who have stood through the annals of time to serve you and are still serving you, being that instrument of listening to your leadership and guidance and being there to help their families. But Lord, again, you know the hearts of each individual that's here and has listened to this message. Lord, I pray that, again, if there's someone who's lost, that they'll trust in your Son, Jesus, before its everlasting life. And Lord, I especially pray again for our mothers. Just encourage them. Whatever the need of the hour is, may we be obedient and follow. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.